going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome back to the Insane Things podcast. Let's dive right in. Insane thing number 4. The sheer size and scope of the Democrats' theft from the American people is already beginning to boggle the mind, and we've only just scratched the surface. Turns out Hillary Clinton's longtime campaign finance director, John Podesta, was given, you might want to sit down, and if you're in the car, you might want to pull over before you hear this, a slush fund, a green slush fund of $370 billion to dole out. Before it was all over, this got so outrageous, they sent Kamala Harris personally to Bethesda, Maryland, to drop off a $7 billion check to a single NGO that had existed, an NGO is a nonprofit, for just 5 months. In fact, that's where most of the money went. Two NGOs run by either Democrat campaign donors, Democrats close to Barack Obama, former Biden folks. And most of these organizations existed for less than a year, if not less than 6 months, when they got multi-billions of dollars. The headline, John Podesta's slush fund gave billions to climate charities founded only months ago. Ethically speaking, it's concerning, said Lori Styron, CEO of Charity Watch, an independent charity watchdog group. What was the purpose of creating middlemen entities when there's so many established groups in the climate space with good track records? What was the value added by doing it this way, especially with such large sums of taxpayer money? Indeed. Now, a lot of these funds would list good sounding projects like, you know, solar energy farm, blah, blah. But you know what, folks? It's beginning to become obvious why so many of these Democrat Enviro giveaways result in nothing. These weren't boondoggles at all. These are money laundering schemes. Let me give another example from this week. Senator Joni Ernst shredded Biden's $3 billion United States Post Office EV, there's the word again, boondoggle. But was it? $3 billion 3 years ago was supposed to deliver 50,000 electric vehicles. Yet 3 years later, a mere 93 vehicles were delivered. Ernst wanted to claw back the money. And she was able to find out not only were they not able to oversee it in terms of Senate members, they had no way to get the money back besides sponsoring legislation. So she did. It's called the Return to Sender Act. You need a whole new law to try to, one, recover the money, and two, just even get the most basic information about where it is. That's how badly managed this stuff is. When a U.S. senator can't find out why only 93 vehicles were delivered. But when you see stuff like that, and then you start looking at the pattern again, you start to see something else. The Democrats are robbing us blind. Like, remember the $42.5 billion program allocated to hook people up to high-speed internet, and not a single person's been hooked up to high-speed internet? That was years ago. Or how about the other $7.5 billion program allocated to build EV charging stations? Only 37 stations have been built so far. This was supposed to power the construction of charging stations all over the country. And yet nobody seems to be actively pursuing the money or getting it back or anything. I think that's because it was stolen. Now, here's the cool part. If you're doing the math here, yeah, all of this that I've just laid out for you, it's $500 billion. Our entire deficit is only $2 trillion annually. Well, at the end of a decade, it'll put, you know, $20 trillion in the national debt. That's bad. But what it shows you, we are not actually struggling to find money to pay for the budget. We're struggling to find money to pay for the fraud, graft, and corruption, which makes what the Republicans just did all the more insane. Because, folks, they spent that whole campaign criticizing the Democrats for their spending, then turned around and produced this bill they're currently trying to jam through the Senate. We'll see if there's a shutdown or not, or if Democrats capitulate. It's got the largest ever deficit, over $2 trillion. It puts us on track to add $20 trillion to the national debt in just 9 years. The Democrats have never even crapped out anything that bad. Yet, incredibly, the same Republican voters that demanded fiscal sanity during the election are now going after Rand Paul and Thomas Massey for even wanting to have the discussion of how broke we are, while Elon Musk literally runs around saying we're on the verge of bankruptcy. And even saying, he said it five times, I played the audio on the show, I won't play it again, it's actually in yesterday's Battleground podcast, saying, yeah, they're trying to kill me. I get a credible death threat every day for doing this, but he says he keeps going because we're on the verge of bankruptcy. Doesn't that suggest to you we're in a really bad place right now? Can we discuss it without getting primaried? Folks, and here's what's so frightening. Elon Musk has been very clear. We're going bankrupt, but we can stop it if we cut the deficit in half. So that's $1 trillion worth of cuts. He thinks he can do it in a year. He says he's finding $4 billion a day, right? $1 trillion worth of cuts. Okay, well, that's almost the identical number that billionaire hedge funder Ray Dalio told CNBC this week that needs to be cut. His was a little higher. It was $1.2 trillion. And he says, if we do not cut it, and I mean cut it now, because he says we're on the verge of the debt death cycle. He said, we're going to go over the edge. And once you go over the edge, you can't come back. What is the debt death cycle? That's where you have to begin borrowing money to pay off the interest on the money you already borrowed. There's almost no way out of it once you enter it. And he said, the problem with this spending right now in Congress is that we've run out of enough human beings to buy the debt they want to sell. And they don't seem to care. They're like children in Congress. There aren't enough human beings on earth to do it. And that is a problem, because if they put this paper out to be bought, eventually, essentially what Dalio is saying is people who hold the debt will realize there aren't enough buyers. And then what do? Panic sell. That's not good. So when you have two billionaires, Ray Dalio and Elon Musk, and again, Musk risking his life to address this situation, sort of seems serious. There's other signs, too, that it's really serious, especially on Donald Trump's part. You remember his last term. Was he cutting like this? I mean, every few days, it's like half of another agency. 20% of the IRS gone. 126 IRS offices closed. Half the Department of Education wiped out this week. Does that look, and it's just the speed of it. You know what it looks like? A man who's desperate to save this country from going into the debt death cycle. But why then doesn't Trump just tell us that? Well, he can't. Can you imagine if he told you what I just said? If people start dumping debt, it would actually cause it. So he can't. He can't say it. And he's trying to do something about it, which leads us to insane thing number three. Yet another judge, this one out of San Francisco, trying to ensure the bankruptcy of the United States. I swear this is what Democrats are doing, by simply issuing an injunction saying the president can't fire tens of thousands of people. Why? Because he rolled out of bed into his judicial robes and I guess felt like it. Folks, I want you to understand how unprecedented this is. Just to give you some idea, since Trump took office 8 weeks ago, there have been 119 injunctions issued just the past 2 months. Okay, that is more than double any president in U.S. history since the founding. So this is new. This isn't something that's happened before. Okay, now, if you go back to the 2017 to 2021 period, his first presidency, what did he get then? 65 nationwide injunctions by these judges saying, nah, you can't do it. I'm the president. You're not. 65 nationwide injunctions. Okay, that last term was more than the first 44 presidents of the United States combined, literally in all of American history. And they've already doubled it in the first 8 weeks of the Trump presidency. So this shows you the kind of unprecedented times we are in. And it truly is a judicial insurrection by the Democrats. Here's Newsweek senior editor and Article 3 Project Legal Counsel Josh Hammer on that.
What we're seeing is not just judicial activism. I used the words very carefully there. I mean, this is a full-on judicial insurrection going back to the very first days of this administration in power. By the way, those of us with a long enough memory to remember the first Trump administration, this is nothing new. So the first Trump administration from 2017 to 2021 faced, by my count, I believe it was 65 so-called nationwide injunctions, which, by the way, is more than the first 44 presidents of the United States combined literally in all of American history faced there. So they basically picked up on in January just last month as if they hadn't lost a beat over the past 4 years. So whether it's a judge in Washington State or Ohio or Washington, D.C. or Florida, Hawaii there, the notion that you can issue a TRO, a temporary restraining order, and thereby try to bring a federal executive branch policy, an executive order to halt there, it's completely anathema. It's bat crap crazy. That's not how the separation of powers works.
But this wouldn't be insane thing number three if it didn't get even more insane. Because Republicans are whining and bellyaching about their suffering at the hands of these judges. But they haven't done the one thing that will stop it. The one thing I've been telling you about in the pages of the Wall Street Journal, a simple paragraph that they could have added to the CR. And folks, it's going to be heartbreaking if the Democrats cave in the Senate and they don't shut down the government. It's looking like Schumer's going to cave, and we could have put this paragraph in this bill. And the Wall Street Journal's already written it for them, and it's giving congressional permission for Donald Trump to cut entire agencies' positions as he sees fit. He has that constitutional right. But as mainstream media explain, here's NBC News, he's going to have to slug it out for years in order to go through with these firings. We don't have years. That's what Elon Musk and Ray Dalio are telling us.
This is going to be in litigation for perhaps years. It's going to cost the government maybe billions of dollars to litigate these cases, and it's not going to be resolved anytime soon.
Why then will the Republicans not put that paragraph in that would virtually lawsuit proof Trump here? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to spend billions of dollars in years. They're going to get to Amy Comey Barrett, and she's going to stab us in the back. She and Roberts already showed that with their ruling on this. They're gonna let these judicial dictators do what they want. Trump needs cover from Congress. He didn't get, look, I don't care if they put it in a CR, put it in another bill that requires 50 plus one. Put it somewhere. We have to find a way to do this. Because the big lie they're telling right now, and it's a lie, and they're demanding every Republican tell it, oh, we'll make the DOGE cuts in September. No, they won't. If they're not making them now, and look, you could make the DOGE cuts already. All you got to do is go ahead and cut $500 billion. That's all you got to do. Cut $500 billion out of the deficit and then let DOGE go find the waste for it. Folks, we already have $500 billion in programs that have expired. I've told you about $500 billion. They're expired. Nobody knows where the money goes. That's why, remember, Elon Musk was sending out those emails. And the questions are like, who is your boss? Nobody knows, because Congress keeps funding these programs. Some of them have expired decades ago. One of them is 40 years old. And so when the program expires, there's no oversight anymore. Yet Congress continues funding them. It's bizarre. And a lot of these other programs, the money just, you know, it gets transferred. It goes, where is it going? We don't know. This is how ridiculous this is, not cutting this. We needed to do $500 billion in this bill, $500 billion in the one in September. The idea we'll wait till September, get it done then, that's a crock. It's an absolute crock. We've got to find a way to pass this. Trump does not have time to play these games. And folks, I'm really beginning to resent these Republicans who are out there pretending, including Mike Johnson and John Thune, who are the heads of the Republicans in the Senate and the House, pretending, these judges, man, they won't let Trump cut. No, you won't let Trump cut. You don't have his back. Look, if you don't want to cut, you don't want to go through the fight, great. Get the paragraph and let him be the bad guy. Anyway, you can read about it in the Wall Street Journal. They've already pre-written it. We just need it in a bill. And again, folks, it's going to be heartbreaking if the Democrats cave here to avoid the shutdown and we could have gotten it through. Heartbreaking.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Insane thing number two. Most Americans, if they're not knee deep in the chemicals that are in our food, that are shortening the average American lifespan. If you're not knee deep in this, you don't understand the historic week that we just had when RFK announced the end of something called GRAS, G-R-A-S. It is why there are only 400 chemicals allowed in the foods in the UK, and there's 10,000 allowed in the foods in the US. The GRAS exemption, this is out of the FDA, allows major corporations to decide for themselves whether a substance they're putting in food is generally recognized as safe. It's assumed it is, and no FDA approval is otherwise needed. And the only time something would be removed from the GRAS standard would be if it is proven it's unsafe. Well, that would generally happen after millions of Americans get sick from it. In other words, they're saying, well, we'll put it into food, see how Americans respond. And if most Americans knew this, they'd be shocked. They'd be shocked. When you're walking into grocery stores, it's the big names traded on the stock market. You think, oh, come on, they wouldn't let these people poison. Yeah, they would. And they are. Here's a little bit on this from RFK. And he has just announced he's drop kicking the GRAS standard.
The first step is radical transparency, because right now, not even the U.S. government knows what's in our food. In 1958, the government created a designation called Generally Recognized as Safe, or GRAS, so that we could make common ingredients like salt and baking soda exempt from testing. But today, it isn't just salt and baking soda. Food companies and cooperative regulators have enlarged the GRAS exemption so that these companies can decide for themselves whether a substance is generally recognized as safe. No FDA approval is needed. European nations, on the other hand, require that a chemical be proven safe before it becomes a food ingredient. In our country, the GRAS standard means that every chemical is presumed safe until proven dangerous, and that proof might not happen until millions of Americans are sick with chronic disease. This mass experiment on the American population with GRAS has, in short, been a catastrophe. We now have around 10,000 chemicals in our food, while Europe has only 400. For example, titanium dioxide, potentially linked to DNA damage and cancer, is banned in the EU, but it's in our children's food. Potassium bromate, a suspected carcinogen, banned in Europe and Japan. And you guessed it, it's in our children's bread. Food dyes such as red dye 40 and yellow 5 and 6 come with warning labels in Europe. They're linked to behavioral issues in children, but in the U.S., they're generally recognized as safe. I can't really blame the food companies. They're just doing what we've allowed them to get away with in a system that's taken on a life of its own. We all agree now that it's time to change the system, and that's exactly what we're going to do. I am today directing the FDA commissioner to start the process of changing the rules to eliminate the self-affirming GRAS pathway for new ingredients. I'm also directing the FDA and NIH to ramp up post-market assessments of GRAS chemicals currently in our food so that we can rapidly identify the compounds that are making Americans so sick.
It's about time. And folks, for right now, while we're waiting on this, one easy thing you can do, kids, grandkids, if you're shopping for them, flip the box over. If it comes in a box, it's probably scary, but once you start learning how to read those labels. Anyway, the worst of the worst for kids stuff, and it does neurological damage, but it also inhibits their sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen. I mean, it's bad stuff. Those food dyes. So if you see red, green, blue, yellow, put it right back. It's poison. And this is generally recognized in Europe, folks. It was so outrageous, I don't know if you remember, that the red dye they already banned, and I think they were going to try to placate Kennedy when the, you know, once they learned, yeah, he's definitely coming, he's going to head the HHS. They banned the red dye because it was a known carcinogen. Folks, it has been banned in makeup you put on your skin since the 1990s by the FDA. But inexplicably, they let us put it in our food. Dear God, and that's just one of the dyes. Anyway, I'm so glad he's doing this. It's so necessary for this to be done in this country. Finally, folks, remember this is the week that the left pivoted back to violence, that the left began to publicly accept and promote the idea that they, and they alone, because they are better, they're morally superior, they know best, that for them, free speech also means the right to violence. This isn't something I'm imputing or gathering. They actually finally admitted it on MSNBC. This is one of the most shocking clips, mind-bending clips I've ever played in talk radio. Now, look, folks, we always knew, going back to the Summer of Love when they did $2 billion worth of damage, we always knew that they believe their free speech includes the right to hurt, vandalize, burn down anybody they disagree with. And eventually, if we let them keep going much longer, they'll start killing. They will. We saw that with the Tesla dealerships and the throwing of the Molotov cocktails this week. Listen to MSNBC, outraged specifically because Trump said he would prosecute people who firebomb Tesla dealerships under domestic terrorism laws. So, I mean, we're talking about dozens of years in prison. They're outraged that he would attack them not for their speech, but for their violence. They actually finally said it. You hear that? You protest a private company, you're going to be labeled a domestic terrorist. But what kind of protest is she talking? Listen again to the beginning.
But then you also overnight have this post claiming that protests at Tesla dealerships are illegal. He said today he would label violence against dealerships domestic terrorism.
There you go. You heard it. We've always known they thought this, okay? But they've not said it out loud before. What is changed? You got to understand where the rhetoric's been on these channels. They are fighting Nazis. This is what they have their followers believe. They are fighting absolute Nazi takeover, right? So violence is absolutely on the table as free speech. And they cannot believe that Donald Trump would take away their violence as free speech. Folks, the danger here, this is becoming the norm on the left. The good news is Trump clearly sees the problem. Thank God for that. And he's going to have to start putting these people away. They're going to have to see their friends facing dozens of years of domestic terror charges to tamp this down, or they will spin out of control. Finally, one more thing. How do I know they'll spin out of control? Because they always accuse you of what they're doing. And before they do it, they tell you what they're going to do by accusing you of what they're doing. So, final exhibit, y'all. Maxine Waters, yesterday. This is where they're going.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.